Open up your red books. If you would, turn to number 392. 392. We have a holiday coming up. And that...
forgot to turn my thing on. That holiday we call Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday. That's why we have a lot of family with us today, a lot of visitors. People are able to spend time with family. It's a time to be able to take the day and be thankful for the things that we have for our family, be able to eat some good food, and be able to spend time together. But as we know, as Christians, Thanksgiving is not the only day of the year that we're to give thanks to God. Obviously, every day is a day that we thank God for the things that He gives us. On the Lord's Day, we are commanded to set aside time to remember our Lord and Savior in the partaking of the Lord's Supper. But just because we partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday doesn't mean we still don't remember Jesus and everything He did for us the rest of the week. We are reminded in the Bible throughout all the Psalms, for instance, how often the psalmists, they recognize all the things that God created and everything that God did for them. In fact, many of the Psalms kind of provide a history lesson. Going back, looking at how God had helped the children of Israel as they left Egypt, how that He guided them for 40 years in the wilderness, how He led them to this land that He had promised them, and all the signs and the wonders that He did to show His power. And it was all certainly to praise Jehovah, but also these moments in the Psalms where the writers would go back and look at the things that had happened as a reminder, this is why we thank God. This is why we praise Him. This is why we obey Him. This is why we follow Him and none other. Because of what He has done, what He has said He will do. That concept carries with the idea of remembering what God has done and what God has promised to do. That idea carries into the New Testament. And that concept is certainly played out throughout the book of Acts and in the epistles where God is praised. We call it doxology sometimes, where Paul, he's in the middle of a thought and just randomly for a verse or two just praises God for His wonderful blessings. Number 392 in our hymnals, count your blessings. And given the topic for this afternoon, praise and thanksgiving, I think it's an appropriate hymn to look at, as we have established a tradition of doing, of looking at a hymn on our singing service. Number 392, count your blessings. The scripture that's given, Psalm 40, as one of the, I guess you could say, inspirations for the writing of this hymn. Psalm 40 and in verse 4. Psalm 40 and in verse 4, it's a psalm of David. It's interesting because it is a messianic psalm. In fact, we know that the Hebrew writer will quote from Psalm 40, verses 6 and 7 and 8, in reference to Jesus speaking to His Father about submitting to His will. But starting in verse 4, David says, "Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." And it's upon this concept, both this verse and others, that our hymn is written, Count Your Blessings. And so we're going to look at this hymn very quickly this afternoon and consider what our hymnist is trying to get across to us, so that when we sing it, which we will here in just a minute, not as an invitation song, but we're going to sing it anyway. Number 392, we want to make sure we understand what the words are. what they mean, what it is we need to be thinking about when we sing it. So verse 1 of our hymn, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. This hymn is really a hymn of perspective. It is a song that we sing that reminds us that throughout our lives, no matter what the situations may be, we need to make sure we remember all the things that God has done for us. And so the recurring request, the recurring call of our hymn writer here, count your blessings. And here in verse 1, you'll notice that the specific situations that this that an individual faces in life, that we deal with in life. He says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. These are things that are happening in life, and these are difficult issues. Sometimes emotional roller coasters that we deal with. When you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. A lot of times, when we bow our head in prayer, especially when we're dealing with something in life specifically that's an obstacle, either physically or emotionally, something that we're having trouble letting go, a lot of times we start out our prayer with every intention of asking God to bless us and to be with us through this issue, through this problem of life. Maybe we've lost our job, maybe something happening in our job, maybe there's something going on in life that is putting stress and concern in our heart and in our mind. But then we start thanking God for all the things that He's done for us. And as we go through that list of all the things that we're thankful for, sometimes during the course of our prayer, we'll realize that whatever it is we're asking for, whatever it is we're hoping will happen or asking God to do for us, whatever it is that's bothering us, we realize it's not as tall of a task or as big of an obstacle as maybe we originally thought when we sat down to pray. And that's because it reminds us when we count our blessings that God has been with us all the way through. That in times past of physical or emotional obstacles and issues that we had to deal with, God was with us then. Why won't He be with us now? And these obstacles don't seem quite so large, so difficult to overcome. When we put it into the larger perspective of everything God has done for us. Verse 2 of our hymn, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Verse 2, and of course verse 1 and 2 comprises all four aspects of our life. Physical and emotional, as well as mental and spiritual. And if you were to try to nail down between the two which one's which, first verse would seem to be focused more on the physical and emotional side of things. But the second verse seems to be more the idea of burdened with a load of care. That can be emotional, certainly, but it's more mental and even spiritual as he describes the cross and the heavy burden we bear. And then he describes doubts. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And then notice the change of heart and the change of mind that takes place. And instead of being doubtful and burdened with a load of care, guess what? You will be singing as the days go by. And it reminds us that no matter what we face, the obstacles of discouragement, the obstacles of feeling worn out and tired spiritually or mentally, having to face perhaps the same type of temptation every single day, sometimes it gets us down. And sometimes that temptation is there for us to throw up our hands and just give up. And yet our hymn writer reminds us, listen, even in those occasions,
Count your blessings. Remember the times when God has been with you before, in these times of doubt, in these times of worry and care, in these times where the cross seemed awfully heavy. Remember how God has helped you before, so that you apply that now to remember God will be with me now too. He's going to help me now as well. That leads to verse 3 of our hymn. So amid the conflict, whether great or small. This conflict is the conflict of life. This comprises all four stages. The physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and the mental. This conflict of life in which we face every day, temptation and trial. Things tearing at us to fall away from what God wants us to do. Our hymn writer says, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. It reminds us, and there are passages we could go to that describe angels as being messengers designed to help the saints in times of need and so forth. The Hebrew writer discusses this a little bit. But to understand that all of the avenues that God has to encourage us and to help us through His Word, through a word of encouragement from a brother or a sister, from something said in our Bible class or lesson, from a hymn that we happen to sing, we take courage and we take exhortation from what God gives us, these blessings, to remind us that I am over all. You remember what Jesus said to his apostles? He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that encouragement from Jesus, knowing that these apostles were going to face tribulation and persecution, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if Christ has overcome the world, He will help us overcome it too. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whether I am abound or I'm abased, whether I'm full or hungry, whether I have everything I need or I suffer need. God is with me. And because God is with me and I can do all things through Christ, I can be content. I can recognize that God has taken care of me today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to focus on today. So when we think about this hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, I challenge you this week, at some point during the week, take one sheet of paper, just one, college rule, sheet of paper. I want you to sit down and I want you to make two columns, physical blessings and then spiritual blessings. And everything that has to do with the saints, with singing hymns, with God's word, with Jesus, everything that is of a spiritual nature, put it in that spiritual column. And everything that has more to do with the physical blessings we have, maybe our physical families, our homes, our jobs, all of the physical blessings, put those in the other column. See how much you can get into those two columns before you run out of space. This isn't just something to do on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving week, but it's a practice that's designed to help us to really appreciate and to put into perspective that no matter how, whatever it is that we're, and we all have things we're dealing with. We all have certain stresses and we all have certain issues that we're facing either as a family or as an individual. But that when you put all these blessings in perspective, some of those obstacles that we might be facing may not seem quite so difficult, quite so insurmountable as maybe they did before we counted our blessings. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, Paul reminds Timothy to remind those saints who have means, who are wealthy, which I would propose that we all fit into that category in our country, that God has blessed us richly with all things to enjoy. That the things of life that we have, both that have a practical purpose, but also a purpose that is just to enjoy, to have things to help us relax, that God has blessed us richly, all these things to enjoy. That's the physical side of the blessings that we have. But then Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 of all of the blessings we have in Christ Jesus, these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. These are the two categories, if you will, of blessings that we have from God. And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. When you put that together with the physical and the spiritual blessings, and you thank God for those blessings, and then you finally come to that part of your prayer where you feel like you need to ask God for help. You need to ask God for whatever the situation may be to help it become resolved in some way. You realize that, Lord, you have been with me all this time. Both physical and spiritual blessings that you've blessed me. And I know one way or the other, it may not be what I expect, but I know one way or the other you will help me through this too. Number 392. We're going to sing all three verses and then the chorus. Number 392. As I mentioned in our bulletin, one of my favorite movies of all time is White Christmas, Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. And one of the songs that Bing Crosby sings in that movie is a song that gets stuck in your head really easily. But it's interesting to me, I did a little bit of research on that song in particular. Let me tell you what I found. The name of the song, Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep. It's a popular song written by Irving Berlin and used in the 1954 movie White Christmas. The song arose from a personal experience of Berlin when his doctor suggested he try, quote-unquote, counting his blessings as a way to deal with insomnia brought on by stress. In a letter to 20th Century Fox executive Joseph Schenck, Berlin wrote, I'm enclosing a lyric of a song I finished here and which I'm going to publish immediately. You have always said that I commercial my emotions, and many times you were wrong. But this particular song is based on what really happened. The story is in its verse, which I don't think I'll publish. As I say in the lyrics, some time ago, after the worst kind of a sleepless night, my doctor came to see me, and after a lot of self-pity, belly aching, and complaining about my insomnia, he looked at me and said, speaking of doing something about your insomnia, did you ever try counting your blessings? Berlin then incorporated the song into the film White Christmas to advance the relationship between the characters played by Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney. The sentimental theme reminds listeners to remember how much they are blessed instead of fretting about short-term problems. And the words of this song echo very much the words of our hymn. When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads. And one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. The intent both of this song in the movie, as well and especially the hymn in our hymnal, is to put into perspective that some of the problems that we face and we think they're just insurmountable, in the end, it reminds us that, you know what, we've faced problems before. We've faced obstacles before. God has helped us through every one, and he'll help us through these two. May not be the way we expect, but he will help us nonetheless. We offer an invitation this afternoon to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, and to be able to have that peace that passes all understanding, knowing that God will be with you as you are faithful to him. For those of us who are Christians, it's easy to get caught up in the things of the world. It's easy to get caught up in the schedule and in the job and careers and everything that's taking place that can distract us. But it's these hymns, Count Your Blessings, and hymns that remind us of the praise and thanksgiving we're to offer up to God. The hymns, all these hymns that we've sung this afternoon, that remind us, you know what, God is in control. And everything good I have in my life has come from him. And everything good I'll ever have in my life is going to come from him. So no matter how tough times may be, God will always be with us. That's the lesson for you this afternoon. If you're subject to temptation, understand he is able to deliver you. Will you please come as we stand and sing?